SBS Radio.
I'm Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with Maggie McGowan and Laura Egan, founders of iconic fashion label Magpie Goose. We're also joined by Amanda Heyman and Troy Casey, who've just taken ownership of the label. Magpie Goose has always been a brand determined to do things differently and is now the first non-Indigenous company to transition to Indigenous ownership. In this conversation, we look back at the founding of the label Magpie Goose before exploring the future of the brand under new Aboriginal ownership.
Maggie and I founded Magpie Goose to create a platform for the immense talent in remote Australia to be shared with the rest of the world. We've always seen ourselves as stewards of the brand, so we worked really hard to create a viable business model that could showcase art on clothing. And it's been a wild ride these last almost 5 years. We set out really with just an idea, and there was a huge wave of support. People really want to learn about these stories and celebrate Aboriginal culture. So Magpie Goose, the brand, really took off. We were left hanging on for dear life, really, and making it up as we went along. But the guiding question for us always was, how can we use this business to create the most impact? And so last year, we realised the business was ready to move from the startup phase of very scrappy entrepreneurs, you know, working from their lounge rooms, you know, devoting weekends and late nights and all the rest, to the scale-up stage of the business. And we recognised that we wanted Aboriginal ownership and leadership for that really important growth stage of the business, and that the foundations were there to really present an attractive offering to the right people. The business is cash flow positive and really well positioned to go forward and grow and attract the brilliant leadership of Troy and Amanda.
Troy and Amanda, were you in the fashion industry prior to taking over this business, or is just a whole new direction you're going into?
Look, our businesses have always revolved around a very similar premise, I think, to Magpie Goose. We've always been passionate about entrepreneurship and innovation and ways that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and communities can harness business to create change, to create positive change for themselves, for their communities and their families. We run a retail space in West End, so that's probably about as close to fashion as we get. But, you know, over the last couple of years, we've done a whole bunch of collaborations with, like, local seamstresses here in Brisbane using Indigenous fabrics as well. And it was just, I mean, we're art curators, and I think one of the things that Magpie Goose is about is curating the stories from communities to showcase them on wearable textiles. So I don't think we have a fashion skill set, but I think we bring a lot of other valuable skills to the organization, particularly around art and art curation, community engagement. But we've also grown a couple of really successful businesses ourselves. So, you know, being given the opportunity by Maggie and Laura, like, we're forever thankful. They run a really amazing business that provides a connection to the broader community, to our stories and culture and our communities. And I mean, we, you know, we couldn't say no to an opportunity like that.
Yeah. So you'll continue partnering with artists and art centers from right across the country, or you're taking a completely different approach, or you maintain the trajectory that was set by Maggie and Laura?
We definitely want to keep on the same path. We love community engagement. That's what we do in our other businesses. And we believe that that's the most exciting thing about Magpie Goose, is going out to communities, getting to know people, really sharing their stories and culture with a bigger audience.
And one question that comes, this is a question for Laura and Maggie. IP law and
Aboriginal art is something that's often in the media and often for the wrong reasons. Did you consider that going into business and especially focusing on Indigenous fashion?
We've been a platform for artists who want to collaborate with a fashion brand to share stories. So we've always held ourselves out as a platform that people can opt into and share their stories. And we work with Arts Law and Copyright Agency, who are experts in licensing designs and ensuring that payments are fair for artists and that payments are made.
We started the business to create opportunities for Aboriginal people living in remote Australia who wanted to plug into the economy in a way that really showcased their assets and strengths. You know, it's a pretty bleak situation. There's not a lot of work opportunities or economic empowerment. So we were really driven by that. How can we create ethical, sustainable economic empowerment opportunities for people living in these remote communities? We set ourselves the challenge. We wanted to make a business that could work, that could stand on its own two feet, and that could bring a whole lot of collaborators along. This business hasn't been about Maggie and I. From the moment go, we've had our friends support us, our families. We've had partnerships with manufacturers and screen printers as well as the artists. So, it's been a hugely collaborative feat. And it's been driven by that desire to create impact and opportunities for Aboriginal people living in remote Australia.
And for people to plug into the business at points that they're interested in. So not everyone in remote communities necessarily wants to start and run a fashion label, but people love the opportunity to do to share their stories through textile design or through modelling, through photography, through digital online storytelling. So there's been a lot of ways that people can plug into the business and get paid for their work and also share stories.
How easy was it, or how hard was it, finding two already experienced Aboriginal entrepreneurs and handing over the business? Did it take a while? Did you go through some kind of middle person to help connect you, or you knew each other all already?
We knew Amanda and Troy already. They were one of our retail partners through Open House West End. And we'd really admired the work that they'd been doing with Blacklash Creative over the last number of years. The mission of Blacklash Creative was so perfectly aligned with Magpie Goose. We identified their entrepreneurial capabilities. They've got a proven track record of working with artists and really showcasing the talent that exists across Australia. So it was a really clear-cut decision for us, and we were so thrilled when they said yes, that they were ready to lead this next phase.
And that they're really well-networked, so they're able to, recruit a team that can, so Magpie Goose can grow, because it's just been Laura and myself for so long, but it has needed to grow beyond us. And, we're really excited that can be done under, Troy and Amanda's leadership, and through their networks they can find. And they have found really amazing people who can, so the team can grow and we can create more impact.
Yeah, Troy and Amanda, where are you taking this business going forward?
I can comfortably answer that, and it is to the world. These textile designs, these stories, our culture, needs to be on the world stage. There is an opportunity, no doubt, to take this brand global. I think, why shouldn't the Olympic uniforms be Magpie Goose? Why shouldn't we be, the Aboriginal-owned version of R.M. Williams in this country? I think the stories, the textiles, our culture needs to be recognized and acknowledged in such a light. And I strongly believe that each and every one of the garments that Magpie Goose creates has the ability to take the world stage very easily. It's going to be hard work, no doubt, but I think we've got the right team. We all have the right kind of passion and desires and interests. Yeah, being able to grow the business also means we can grow the impact and grow employment opportunities and grow the scale of those other communities that we're able to help through these textile design projects.
How has the pandemic actually affected your business model and your business in the last 12 months? Because this is something that no one has escaped the consequences of this pandemic.
It's been a challenging year for our business as well as, I guess, everyone else's. But we have a really strong customer base that want to purchase ethical, sustainable art that tells a story. So we were able to survive the year that was COVID and pivoted a little bit away from physical pop-ups where we would have sales events across the country. We focused our efforts towards online digital marketing. That really helped to grow sales. And we were beneficiaries of JobKeeper, which also kept the business alive too.
Amanda and Troy taking over a business that's already up and running and being two successful entrepreneurs. How do you see things going forward? And will you have any physical presence in major cities like Melbourne? Because personally, I'm still old school. If I'm going to buy something, I need to touch and feel what I'm buying. And it's different from when you see them online. You see the details of the fine work that the artists have put in, whereas online, pixelated or can be enhanced digitally. And the way it presents when you see it in real life is completely different.
We'll continue to grow the brand. There is an exponential growth opportunity. I think Laura just touched on the fact that digital marketing and online campaigning has allowed the business to kind of stay afloat, but also provides other growth opportunities for the company. I think when we start to talk about taking it to the world, I mean, the internet's, you have the world at your fingertips. And so, you know, creating a really structured and definitive marketing campaign to increase our sales is probably first and foremost. We need to make sure that our cash flow is good now that we've got 7 staff members from 2 staff members. So, you know, it's a really big, big growth to start with. But, you know, we're really confident in the product. You know, I think as any company or any business that sells goods or services, like, you need to be really confident in the product that you're making or the service that you're selling. And with Magpie Goose, the product speaks for itself. You know, I think if we keep true to the mission and true to the vision of the organization, then the products will speak for themselves and sell for themselves. As COVID restrictions ease and we have a bigger team, we have an ability to continue to do in-person events when they're safe to do so. So we would see the company doing a range of pop-ups across the remainder of the year. You know, we're really fortunate. There's a whole bunch of other kind of design markets and opportunities for us to pop up and in different cities across the country and showcase our products. And I think what's interesting, as you mentioned, you know, you want to see and touch and feel it. I think that idea of, you know, the pop-ups for us are a great exercise in customers being able to come and touch and feel the products and understand the quality and know the colors and know the prints and then feel more comfortable buying online as well. We will have the full range of Magpie Goose in our retail space in Brisbane as well. So people and customers can come and purchase the products in store as well in Brisbane. And we have a couple of other retailers across the country as well, which you can find on our website.
Just a final word to our listeners, something I might have missed that you really need to tell our listeners.
We're quite impatient. We want to see reconciliation move at a much faster pace in this country. And so Magpie Goose has a huge role to play in that. And we're really confident that Amanda and Troy can take up the opportunities that this platform presents and really unite this country around a celebration of Aboriginal cultures.
Amanda and Troy.
For a long time, Aboriginal people have been underestimated in terms of their education, in terms of their abilities, and there's been a lack of trust that we are capable of doing certain roles, certain jobs, running certain businesses. And I think that it is a huge step for Maggie and Laura to trust us with a brand of this scale, a brand of this recognition that it already has, trusting us with the ability to continue to take the reins and grow the business. And we're really grateful for that. And Magpie Goose is a brand that you need to get behind. It is supporting people on so many different levels, you know, and has an opportunity to continue to grow and to continue to grow its impact. So, yeah, all I can say is, you know, get behind us, you know, back us, believe in us, get out there and buy some of our gear as well. Maggie and Laura wants to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say Magpie Goose, it's an incredibly unifying brand. It's really incredible to see how customers respond to the stories told by these remote Aboriginal artists. People feel powerful, they feel grounded, they feel connected with Aboriginal culture and stories. And I guess they love being part of those stories. It's such a gift for artists to share those stories, and customers respond so well to that. It really is reconciliation in action, we think, from what we've seen. People are so excited to connect with Aboriginal culture and people and stories in a really positive, meaningful way. Yeah, and we're so excited to see what the brand can do under Aboriginal ownership and leadership, under the leadership of Troy and Amanda. They're so capable, and we're just really excited about the next stage of the business and what it can do.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.